Okay, Bechvod, Rabbi Levine, members of the Kollel, and ladies, yes, okay. We have halachas, mitzvah saseh, mitzvah slo saseh. Where do we know that we can do a lot of things that we do to save a life? Well, first of all, how could doctors become doctors? It says, rapo yirape. So it gives permission, because Hashem does things. Who is man to change what he wants to do? Rapo yirape. Hashem gave permission to man to become doctors. They should heal the sick. But how far does that go? Could it be just something that they can do that doesn't involve anything that's against the Torah? For instance, giving medicine that's not kosher. Pray for medicine. So we have the pasuk in Vayikra that says v'chai b'chem, and it's dashin v'chai b'chem v'shlo yemusu b'chem, and this gives permission that you have to be able to do everything in your power to save a life, no matter what, except in three occasions, and that's for shvichas damim, avod zara, and gilui arayos. Otherwise, anything that the Torah said you shouldn't do, if you need to do it to save a life, you're allowed to do. Story goes, now, it's maybe a little bit of a joke. I don't know how true it is, but I've heard this from several occasions, where people came into Rosh Yeshiva on Shabbos. I have a choler at home. Am I allowed to do ABC? And without even thinking about it, he says mutter. A week or two later, somebody else comes in, and I have a choler at home. Can I do XYZ? And without even thinking, he says mutter. And it goes on like that a few times. Talmidim came over to him and said, Rebbe, how is it every time somebody comes in about a shayla, about to have a chayla at home, you're so makel binyanei Shabbos? He says, I'm not makel binyanei Shabbos. I'm machmir b'bekuach nefesh. How true that story is, it's been told, I don't know. The reason I'm saying I don't know how true it is because it's also brought down, unfortunately, I don't remember from who, but I've heard this on several occasions also, that one who is facing a situation that might be pekuach nefesh and runs to his rav to ask a shayla on Shabbos, he's considered a rotzayach. Because you first do, and then you worry about it. You should have learned the halakas beforehand, but you first do, and then later go ask, see if you did it right. But if you have to run to the rav to ask a shayla on Shabbos because you have a choler in the house, you're considered rotzayach, because that extra period of time may cause this person's death. Safek b'koach nefesh is also deicha Shabbos, and a lot of people don't know that. I've had many cases, people come running to my house 3, 4, 5 blocks away. They have somebody in the house, has this, has that. I said, why did you come running 4 or 5 blocks away? Why don't you call Hatzolah on the phone? Oh, we didn't know if we really needed to. And I said, what would happen if I would have not been home, or if I was on another Hatzolah call? You just wasted 5-10 minutes. You pick up the phone and you call.
And they also don't realize that the phone is not a deraisa either.
That is someone what? I'm sorry?
It's not a deraisa.
It's not a deraisa. Okay, first, I want to go over some. Now, I'm not a rav. I'm not paskening. I'm just telling you what I've learned. Lessons for everybody. I'm sure you all know, you all have learned what a chassid shait is. Somebody doesn't save a woman from drowning because mixed swimming, nagiya. Hatzalah has a different definition of chassid shait. The two definitions we use, someone who doesn't take his medicines on Yom Kippur, he has heart medicines, he has blood pressure medicines, By 12 o'clock in the afternoon, they're calling Hatzolah, they're passing out in shul, and we have to end up taking them to the hospital. Or Pesach. We get a call after the first kos, they just made Kiddush, within 15 minutes, we get a call, they're passed out on the floor. Oh, by the time we get there, they're Baruch Hashem conscious and talking. Do you take medication? Yes. Didn't your doctor tell you not to have wine with that medication? Yes. You had wine for Kiddush, didn't you? Yes, but it's Kiddush, apokosis. Kasachaita. People always question us, why do we answer calls or take people who have broken bones to the hospital on Shabbos? Because it's brought down that if you're losing an Eiver, you shouldn't be over Shabbos on it. But over the years, medicine has changed. And if somebody broke a bone, how do you know that the sharp edge of that bone is not cutting a blood vessel internally? Whether it's in the arm, in the leg, it's a rib that may be puncturing into the lungs. You don't know that. We have to take them to the hospital. And you shouldn't stay at home and say, oh, it's an arm, it's 3 hours to Shabbos, I'll wait. You don't know what's doing underneath the skin. You don't have x-ray vision. We get calls Motzei Shabbos. Somebody's not feeling well. We get to the house. Patient has a fever of 103, 104. Oh, when did this start? Oh, it started at 6 o'clock in the morning. So why did you wait till Shabbos to call? Go to Shabbos. Rav Moshe Zatzal paskind that for an adult, over 102 fever is sakanas nefeshes. You don't wait.
What about a child?
A child, I think it's 100 and a half or 101, I don't remember. But I know for adults, just so happens that, from my experience, people are more lenient in calling Hatzolah for a child with fever than they are for calling for an adult with 103. That's why I'm bringing up an adult. Because people say, I'll take Tylenol, I'll wait. Rav Moshe Zatzal paskin, over 102 for an adult is sakanas nefeshes. Don't be your own doctor. If you have chest pain and you have a history of GERD or ulcers or reflux, they all have the same symptoms. Don't think, oh, I had cholent at lunch, it's my reflux. You're not a doctor. The only way they can tell for sure that it's not a heart attack is with enzyme blood tests in the hospital. Even an EKG can't tell you. Sometimes the EKG that the medics will bring to the house, or even if you get to the hospital, the EKG will be clean, nothing wrong. And when you take the blood enzymes 3 hours later, it comes back, there are differences, and turns out you are having a heart attack. You don't play games. Better safe than sorry. Now, this is something that I'm sure many people have read about and know about, but I'm going to say it anyway. Everybody thinks that just because it's not chest pain, I'm not having a heart attack. One of the other symptoms of heart attacks is jaw pain, which usually affects more women than men. Men usually have chest pain. Women, many times, instead of the chest pain, have jaw pain. And I know somebody that I sent to the hospital, that she was walking home from shul on a Shabbos morning, and her family was telling me every few minutes she stopped and rubbed her jaw. And then she went further, stopped and rubbed her jaw. When they got home, they called Hatzolah, and it turns out she was saying that whenever she goes to work, because when we asked her, she ever had this pain before, Well, when I walk up from the subway station, my office is right outside the subway station, but when I walk up the steps, after I come to the top step, I have to stop and rest. I have some pain. Took her into the hospital. She was told, after several different types of tests, she needed quadruple bypass. Turned out she needed quintuple. She needed five bypasses. Don't think, oh, it's my jaw, it's not my chest. Same thing with back pain. Men and women. Oh, I lifted something heavy yesterday, so my back is hurting me. Not necessarily. Especially if you didn't lift something heavy yesterday, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you're getting back pain, it's something to think about. And it's not something, oh, I'll wait till after Shabbos. Suffolk Bekuach Nefesh is Deiche Shabbos. Someone who's bleeding. Now, many times we get calls from parents, a kid fell, and blood all over the head, he's bleeding. Yes, for anybody, an adult, a child, if you cut yourself, even if you nick yourself in the scalp, it's going to bleed. Your scalp is the thinnest skin on your body. So therefore, and the blood vessels are right near the top of the top of the head. So any little nick, you're going to bleed, and especially if you, children especially, have hair, older people are losing some of it, me included. All of a sudden, you take a look, the parents are all, you know, nervous because their child's hair is all full of blood. It came from a little nick like this, which once you wash it off, don't need anything. If it's a bang, we'll get to that in a minute. Okay, I'll get to the banging in a minute. So, if you see it's bleeding from the head, you've got to be concerned, but most often than not, it's really nothing. But we'll get to that in a minute. If it's bleeding, whether it's from the head or any other part of the body, and the person, the patient, is on blood thinners, don't wait. You run to call Hatzalah. Blood thinners, a person can bleed out. Somebody who's on Coumadin, and they're bleeding, that blood is going to take a long time to stop unless they're given some type of pressure gauze or other things that'll counteract the Coumadin that's in their body. We had a case here. Unfortunately, one of our members was sitting shiver 2 weeks ago. His brother fell in the house. He was on, I don't know which blood thinner he was on, but he was on blood thinners. And he bled out internally in the hospital. You can't take a chance.
Even the daily aspirin can sometimes do that.
That's right. Aspirin is a type of blood thinner.
No, I'm saying people take the baby aspirin.
Even the baby aspirins. That's why if you have ulcers, you should not be taking aspirin unless the doctor says a baby aspirin is fine. Because aspirin is a blood thinner, and you can end up with ulcers and end up with bleeding ulcers. Exactly. Yes. Going back to the bleeding on the head, whether an adult or a child, if you bump your head, even if there's no bleeding, if you bump the head, especially if you see swelling, or not even big swelling, even a little bit, you have to be careful and get it checked out. Is it a concussion? Is it something worse? You've all read in the papers, heard on the news shows, everything that's been in the last year or so on about football players, even with their very special helmets, they fall, they get knocked, and they're all having concussions. You can't take a chance. This is going back. This has to go back. My wife was in high school. She had a friend whose brother was in those years, was an avid bike rider. He went riding on his bike, and he got knocked down, hit his head on the ground. thought he was fine, came home, told his mother, I'm tired, I'm going to go take a nap. Never woke up. If there's a bang on the head, you have a headache, you have a bump, it has to be checked out. Someone falls. Okay, I fell. If they're not complaining of anything, you gotta watch them. But why did they fall? Is it an older person? And they fell because they did a wrong turn and they may have cracked or broken their hip? Or they're in pain and they broke the hip because they fell? Did the chicken come first or the egg came first? Did they break the hip because they fell, or they fell because the hip snapped and they're on the floor? You have to be careful. If they're getting up without pain, is one thing. If there's pain, no matter how old, you have to be careful and assume for the worst. One of our cases several years ago, Baruch Hashem, this boy is now married with his own family, but he has to watch himself. He fell in yeshiva. And the principal, the rabbeim, I don't know whether he called the parents or not, but they said that you don't have to come pick him up. He's okay. Just want to let you know that he fell. When the father came home and saw him, he did not like the way the son looked, ran to the hospital with him. He had major, major internal organ damage in his abdomen from that one fall. And it was touch and go for a while if he would make it. As I said, Baruch Hashem, he's okay. He has to watch himself. He's married with a family. But people think, oh, he fell, he's okay. People always kibitzed me in public school. I was the unofficial doctor in my public school. The kid sneezed the wrong way. They called me out of class to take a look at them. And the teachers always kibitzed me that they send a kid into me with a splinter. I sent them out in a body cast. There was another teacher who was a volunteer in Bay Ridge, called Bravo, Bay Ridge Volunteer Ambulance. And she said, she told them, what he's doing is right. Because you treat for the worst. If it's nothing, Baruch Hashem, it's nothing. But if it's something, you treat it for it. Always assume the worst. You don't want it to be the worst, but that's what you've got to assume. Someone who has a history of asthma, you don't take chances. Asthma kills. If someone has a history, they're having trouble, and their spray or their medicine is not working, you don't wait. You call. Shabbos, Yom Tov, Yom Kippur makes no difference. Makes no difference. Allergic reactions. Someone has a couple of bumps, little pimples on their arm or whatever, is one thing. Maybe you take some antihistamines, you'll be fine. If someone is developing welts, hives, difficulty breathing, you don't wait. Especially difficulty breathing, because you're closing up the airway. The welts, the swelling, if it's so bad on the arms and legs and torso, it could be internal also, closing up the airway, closing up the person's lungs. You don't wait. Women in labor. One of the questions they've always thrown at us, why do they call Hatzalah if a woman has to go to the hospital and she's in labor? Why didn't they make arrangements with a car service? I've been on too many calls where it's not that they didn't, that they waited for the last second and they called Hatzalah. One case in particular, they made arrangements with a car service, which I'll get to in a minute. The car service was outside the door when we got there. She was sitting on the floor of on the street in front of her door. She says, I can't go by car service, I'll never make it. She was right. We delivered her in the ambulance. Whether it's the first baby or the 15th baby, you don't know what Hashem has in mind. Is it going to take a minute? Or they'll be in labor for 5 hours. But if they're in labor, and especially if the contractions are getting closer and closer, you can't take a chance. And by the way, as I said, I'll get back to the car services. As I said, I'm not paskaling, I'm not a rav, but a few times I've heard from different husbands of the women in labor. Something came up while we were taking care of the wife, and the husband was talking with us about calling, did you make up with a car service? And they said they asked their Rav, they asked the Rosh Yeshiva, whatever it was. I've heard this a few times already. Again, I'm not a Rav, I'm not paskening. But they were told, you don't have to call a Goyisha car service or make up with them before Shabbos. Why? Because even if it's a Jewish driver, a woman in labor is considered a chayla sheyesh bo sakana. So it's a Jew taking a chola to the hospital. What he did before that time, what he's doing after that time, is not our concern. When you called him, he's taking a chola to the hospital. Have questions about that? Ask your LOR, local Orthodox rabbi. I'm not a rav, but that's what I've heard. Excuse me? Okay. That's a general overall about Sakanas Nefashos on Shabbos for the general population. Yes.
Do you let the husbands ride with an ambulance?
Yes.
With the wife?
I'll get to that till in a minute, but yes. It's not just the husband. Number one, people are saying, I'll walk, I'll meet my, even if it's not a woman in labor, my father's having a heart attack, I'll walk, I'll meet you, I'll walk to the hospital, I'll meet you there. The Rabbanim have paskened that we're allowed to take up to 2 family members on a Shabbos in the ambulance. And definitely, if nobody's going, because once somebody's saying, I'm going to walk to the hospital, I'll meet you there, throw them in the ambulance. It's a refuah for the patient to have a friend or especially a relative with them in the ambulance. As an aside, has nothing to do with Hatzolah or Pekuach Nefesh on Shabbos, but Chas V'Shalom, somebody has to go to the hospital. From my own personal experience with my family and other people who are sitting here, and always have someone go with the patient. Because if the patient for some reason can't speak or doesn't know the answer or is under medication and therefore they're sleeping, there is a spokesman for that patient to speak to the doctors or anybody in the hospital that something has to be said. That has nothing to do with Shabbos. This has to do with even during the week. If somebody has to go to the hospital, have someone go with the patient. The patient goes alone. There's no one to speak up for them if something comes up.
Can I ask one other question?
Yeah.
From your information, like, you go into the hospital and you have an accident, so do the hospitals pretty much, you know, they usually ask insurance information on this question.
Okay, most hospitals in this area, or put it this way, insurance information and all that, if you've ever been to this hospital before, unless your insurance changed, your information is in the computer. So you don't have to worry about that. Even if you're going to a new hospital that you've never been to, do you need your cards with you? No. Because when you get the bill after Shabbos, either you bring it in after Shabbos, you tell them you'll bring it in after Shabbos or on Sunday, or when you get the bill in the mail, you make a photostat of your insurance card, and you attach it to the bill and just send it back to them.
What about a list of medicines? That
you have to take. And on Shabbos, we write down, if it's one or two medicines that we can remember or the family can remember, is one thing. If a patient, unfortunately, has a drugstore list of medications that they take, we write it down, we have to take it to the hospital. That's a must. Because there are certain medications that the patient might be taking, if the hospital wants to give something, might contradict what they're taking. They have to know what medications the patient's on. That's a must.
Some of these hospitals, I put a finger and made me sit 5 hours.
That's something else. That, not Hatzalah. That's any hospital, yes.
Go with Hatzalah,
if you go with Hatzalah, you're not only 5 hours.
No.
Hatzalah is
no, not for a cut. For a cut, they're going to take a heart attack patient before they have somebody who needs a stitch.
So you're making a recommendation that everyone who's taking multiple medicines should have it written down beforehand.
Yes,
right.
Definitely. Definitely. Doctors look at me, because when I walk into any doctor, even my regular doctor that I go to all the time, did you change your medication since the last time you're here? And I pull out the sheet, here are my medications. I have everything. I learned from Hatzalah because of this. Because we take in patients. Oh, what's your mother on? Oh, she's on about 10 medications. What are they? I don't know. Or if you are by a relative, or your relative is by you for Shabbos or Yontif, so you brought with you just a few pills you need for Shabbos and Yontif. What about all the other medications? Oh, I don't know. Well, I don't know the names. The list is at home. Doesn't do you any good being at home. You need that list with you.
Good pharmacists will also look at your drug list and see you.
They're supposed to.
Do they also want the names of your doctors that have been treating up to them?
On Hatzalah sheet there is a place to write in the name of the doctor, but that we don't have to write down. That you could tell them. I mean, that's not a problem. Okay, now Sakanas Nefashis first Hatzalah wise. People ask us, how do we go to Goyim on Shabbos? When Hatzalah was first started, the Shaila went through Rav Moshe Zatzal, if it's a Suffolk guy on Shabbos, are we allowed to answer the call? And Rav Moshe's answer was, even if you know it's a Vadai guy, you have to go. Number one, Shalom Bein Amim. But number two is if the state finds out that we're not going because they're not Jewish, we'll lose our license and we put other Jewish lives in jeopardy. So even if we know it's a Vadai guy, we have to go. It also depends. We had this story, this is many, many years ago. You have to be specific when you call, even 911, but Hatzalah especially. We only know what the person who called tells us. We don't have x-ray vision that we can see what's going on where the call is. What do I mean by that? I once walked into a house because we got a call. My child is having difficulty breathing. I walk in, and I'm looking for
a child
anywhere from 5 to 20. Turned out it was the 35-year-old daughter who was having difficulty. Yes, it is her child, but when you talk about a child, you're not thinking of an adult of 35. On the other hand, also, you got to be specific. Years ago, we had, this is many, many years ago, where Hatzalah got a call on a Shabbos morning from that there was a car accident. Turns out that whoever called, I don't know, but somebody called me. Hatzalah never came. EMS showed up till the EMS did what they had to, and they got the patient out to the hospital. It didn't take 2 minutes, it takes time, and Hatzalah never came. So I made a few phone calls and I spoke to my coordinator. And this is when Hatzalah first started here in Flatbush. And the coordinator found out from the dispatcher, well, it was a car accident, it's on Shabbos. Who's driving a car on Shabbos? So the coordinator, who is Rabbi Benda. Those of you may know him. He's now the Rosh Yeshiva in Dachei Torah, but he was one of the founders of Hatzolah here in Flatbush. He gave this dispatcher, because who was in Williamsburg, a Mishaberach. He said, number one, that maybe in Williamsburg, no Jew, there are none from Yidden that drive on Shabbos, but there are Jews here in Flatbush that drive on Shabbos. And even a Jew with Melchalel Shabbos, Kuach Nefesh Doifah Shabbos. Is he it? Number two, and this is what the point I was getting to with what information is given to the dispatcher by the caller. Turned out that it was a car accident, but it wasn't two cars. It was a pedestrian walking to shul that was hit by a car. So he was wrong on 2 points, not sending out somebody because it was Shabbos. He says nobody's driving, and turned out it was a pedestrian. Now, he didn't think of a pedestrian hit because he was told car accident. When you're told car accident, you think of two cars or a car went into a pole or something.
Was he trained or did they change training?
They changed the rules, yes. This is going back, they said, way, way years ago. When... In the beginning... Excuse me? Oh.
Yeah.
When what?
Is training... Standard, the same training throughout.
For what? You're talking about dispatch, you're talking about EMTs.
Whatever training.
Now, EMTs and paramedics were all trained by the state.
Right.
It's a state test, the
so
state
as far as
rules.
Training, it will have double as those training. Is it the same training in, let's say, Monroe as it's in Queens?
You're talking about EMTs or you're talking about dispatching?
Not the state. Whatever training.
That's all the same. It's all the same.
State.
That's a state.
I'll be very honest.
It's a state.
25 years ago, when my daughter was special needs in Williamsburg, my directions were, if they need Hatzalah, do not use local Hatzalah. Call them from Crown Heights or from Flatbush.
On Shabbos?
No, during the week.
Week. Why?
Because at that time, their training was not...
I don't know what year that was in. Everything is... we're all... No matter where we are. Now, it's true there are certain areas that have slightly different rules, not because of Hatzalah, because of what's called REMAC, which has to do with the state, that each area is under a different control of a state REMAC organization. The rules might be slightly different from here than in Monroe.
Right.
But that's the state. It had nothing to do with Hatzalah.
No, I'm talking about training.
No, that's all the same.
That could have been, but not now.
Not now.
What about dispatching? You mentioned the difference in
dispatching. Now again, it's all controlled by one. You know, everybody gets the same training. And years ago, there used to be very few dispatches because Hatzalah at that time was just starting out, and everybody decided upon themselves what they wanted to do. But now there's a standard thing for dispatching. When you call Hatzalah today, there's a minimum of two people sitting, waiting for those calls. Because one person is answering the phone, and the other person is on the radio console, ready to transmit where the call is. So there's a minimum of two people sitting there.
If the dispatchers...
Excuse me?
Shabbos dispatchers, you trying them non-Jewish or Jewish?
No. Dispatchers are all Jewish. The only ones that we have that are not here in Flatbush. I'm not getting into the halakhas and the differences between Borough Park and Flatbush and Williamsburg and Muncie and Monroe and all that. Borough Park and Williamsburg here in New York City, Hatzalah, have goyim who are off-duty firemen and off-duty policemen who are at the garage all Shabbos or all Yontif. Obviously, they work in shifts, but they're there, and they're not that they answer calls. But when you, I'll get to that in a few minutes, about coming back from the calls, they go to where the ambulance is and drive the ambulance back or things like that, not going to the call.
What's the advantage of having non-Jews
Shabbos.
Bringing it back.
But isn't but if you want to go with non-Jews, we could have 911.
No. Not taking the patient to the hospital.
Yeah.
Once we're back, from the patient's in the hospital already. Okay. Now we're coming back. So they go to the hospital. There are two guys in the car. One gets in the ambulance, drives back the Hatzalah members to wherever they came from, and they bring back the ambulance to the garage.
Why do you need an EMS or
EMS?
You said you have former off-duty.
They're off-duty cops or off-duty firemen, because that's who they work with.
They know how to drive an ambulance.
They know how to drive an ambulance. They know, you know.
And what happens to the guy with his car? He doesn't bring his car to the garage.
Well, they go back sometimes.
They drop him
at their car. They go and start their car for them, mm-hmm. which I'll get to in a few minutes. Right. Yes.
Two questions. I've noticed, I've seen it, you'll have two regular cars. You see them coming with the flashing lights, and occasionally have an ambulance. Who makes the decision who to send? Is it the dispatcher?
First of all, on any 90% of the calls, you'll get a minimum of two people going by car, because they send two people to the call. See, that's the difference between Hatzalah and all the other volunteers in the state. All the other volunteers in the state, you go to any, you go upstate New York, those of you in the Catskills, if you call Woodburn volunteers, you call Monticello volunteers, they first send the volunteers to the ambulance garage, and then they pick up the ambulance and go to wherever the call is. Hatzalah doesn't work that way. We send two people directly to the call, so the patient's getting a first aid, getting oxygen or whatever, while a third person is dispatched to go get the ambulance. So while they're waiting for the ambulance to come, the patient's already getting first aid.
My second question. I've seen in some Hatzalah Shabbos, where I remember Davening at Chassidus Yeshua in Borough Park, where they had a table, where they had the mics at the table and sitting, and nobody was carrying mics.
Okay.
I see some literature shuls that carried on their...
Yeah, we all... Okay, I'm going to get to that in a minute. That's in here, too. Okay, I'll get to that in a minute.
Just point information.
Yes.
On top of Rabbi Twersky's shul...
They're the dispatch center.
Shabbos dispatch
station. Yeah, it's not just Shabbos. It's during the week, too.
All right, but if you want to go up Shabbos, you can see the guy sitting doing Avodas HaKodesh.
When Hatzalah first started, so this is going back into the, even in the early 80s, before the early 80s, I should say, I started Hatzalah in 77, so I'm doing this 37 years already. We didn't have beepers, we didn't have radios. The radios first came in the early 80s. So we had everything by phone. When the phone rang in your house on Shabbos, or if you had a phone in shul, if the phone rang in shul, you had to pick it up. As soon as they said, this is Hatzalah, Rabbi Bender, this is the joke that goes on in Hatzalah all the time, at least Flatbush Hatzalah, as soon as they told you on the phone, this is Hatzalah, today's Tuesday. It's not Shabbos anymore. Whatever you have to do, would do for a patient on Tuesday, you do on Shabbos. After the patient's in the hospital, then there are other things. But going to the call, taking care of the patient, getting the patient to the hospital, today is Tuesday. We had cases, quite a few members at the time had more than one phone in the house. So a shaila was asked, do we answer our phones? And the original psak was that have a dedicated number you give to the dispatchers. That's the only phone you answer on Shabbos. The other phone rings, you don't answer it.
That makes sense.
We had a case, one of our own members, who at that time, he had, because of business, he had four phones in the house. Four phone numbers. It wasn't his Hatzalah number that rang, the one that the dispatchers had for Shabbos. It was one of the other numbers. Should I? Shouldn't I? Got the better of himself. He answered it. Not a wrong number. It was his father having a heart attack. They went back to the Rav who paskened, heard the story, changed his psak. No matter which one of your phones rings, you pick it up. Because if it's your neighbor, if it's your relative, they're going to call any number that they remember.
So
they're not. They don't know what the dedicated...
So is that true today?
Today,
you know,
yes.
2014.
Yes.
You get a phone call in your house and Shabbos to pick it up.
I pick it up. Pick it up. It could be a neighbor.
You can see it on the screen.
No, not necessarily, because sometimes it's blocked.
So is that true for all Hatzalah members?
Robo-call. They're supposed to. They're supposed to pick it up. I'll get
you
this.
Try to get a gramophone?
Sure. No. I'll get to that in a minute. You're supposed to pick it up, even today. Because I have something with my neighbors. I told everybody in my block, because people come knocking at my door, and they come in the middle of the summer, or I knocked at your door at 12 o'clock at night, nobody answered. I said, you know, if you need me on Shabbos, winter, summer, I don't care. If it's not during the day, even if it is during the day, I could be taking a nap. With the air conditioning going, therefore, the bedroom door is closed, knocking on my door is not going to do you any good. You've got to call me on the phone, or better yet, maybe I'm not home. Call Hatzalah.
Do you carry your cell phone with you on Shabbos?
I'll talk to you privately about that.
Yeah.
No.
By extension,
yeah.
You should take your cell phone.
That's right. Yes.
So what does the average Hatzalah member do with regard to this question?
Well, there was a whole mice about the cell phones on Shabbos, and going on the call, you're supposed to take your cell phone.
Fascinating.
Because you take your cell phone once you're on the call. You know, you're in the house, the cell phone's in the house, you're going on the, because let's say I have to call any what's called medical control. Somebody doesn't want to go to the hospital. I can't just say, okay, you don't want to go. It'll be a maya chryas if something happens.
You can't do that for the radio?
So I have everything. No, because you have to call medical control, which for us here in Flatbush is in Methodist Hospital. It's not one of our doctors. It's in Methodist Hospital.
And that can't be arranged through
the
radio?
No. No.
But what about going to shul? That's what you're going on a call. You're going to shul Shabbos morning. You take, is the average Hatzalah member, is he supposed to take his cell phone with him?
They're told to leave it in their car with their equipment, so that they have it with them when they go on a call.
That could be very...
Yes, I know. There's a whole thing with that. I'm not a rub, I'm not poskening.
But what is the average that's told about? What is the one told to do?
Some do, some don't. When the radio...
It's not enough.
Radio's not enough. Radio's not enough.
Radio's not enough. The dispatcher will get you out of the radio. Right.
See, part of the problem is where the dispatcher tells the volunteer to please call the base. Well, if I don't have my phone, how can I call the base? Radios on Shabbos. When we first got our radios, there was a whole big machlokes whether we can, I wouldn't use the word carry them, wear them on Shabbos. They went to Rav Moshe Zatzal, and he paskined that the radio on Shabbos is a malbush for a Hatzalah member. You have to take it with you. We had a case here in Flatbush where there was a member who unfortunately was ill, couldn't go on calls, so he didn't have his radio with him on Shabbos. He's sitting in shul, and every few minutes his rav notices him going like this. You know, he feels that the radio is not there. And the rav went over to him. He says, you see, Rav Moshe was right. You feel that you're undressed. You don't have that radio. Specifically what you were saying, somebody said about in certain Hasidic places that they have a radio set up on the table and the people don't. In Borough Park, I'm not going into the differences, Flatbush, Borough Park, Williamsburg, Crown Heights. As far as I know, it's only in Borough Park where they do not carry the radios on, wear the radios on Shabbos. There are enough people either in the house with a radio or in shul that has a radio there, and then when they get into the cars and whatever. So, but here, as far as I know, they're the only ones that don't wear the radio on Shabbos. I think Williamsburg does. I won't say it, but here we do. Every place else that I know of, we all wear our radios on Shabbos.
It's, I remember when they first started out solo. And the reason I'm saying it is because to learn a lesson from it, that in Williamsburg they have Pashkevilim saying that the Shkatzim who want to drive on Shabbos join out solo. It means that that's why I asked you, it's a uniform approach. And in Borough Park, if you know you have enough people, then you don't carry. But if in the summer, I imagine,
I don't know,
not enough people, there should be a mechanism where
there is. But I'm not in Borough Park, so I don't know what their rules are. I'm here in Flatbush. Our rules in Flatbush, you wear your radio. Okay. Somebody was asking before about special phones for Shabbos. They came out with the special phone in Israel many, many years ago. And even when they came out now, the Hatzolah started already, and they came out, that's when answering machines first started. So the question was asked, do we get answering machines? And the psak was, no. If you have one already, that's one thing. But even then, you probably should turn it off for Shabbos. Why? Because the 30 seconds it takes for the machine to pick up and give you a message, and the dispatcher starts talking, you've just wasted 30 seconds. Can't do it. If the phone, when we use basically, I mean, we still use the phone today a little bit, but it's basically on the radio, but if your phone rings in the house on Shabbos, or if the radio tells you there's a call near you and you want to answer it, and it's after Shkia, Shabbos afternoon, we're told, say Baruch HaMavdil. If it's late enough, then it's after Shabbos, it's okay. If it's not late enough, saying Baruch HaMavdil 3 o'clock in the afternoon won't help anyway. So, if it's after Shkia, you want to go on a call because the call is near your house and you're going to answer it, or the phone rings, say Baruch HaMavdil. When somebody asked about always answering phones today, we had a case several years ago. So this is when we had the radios and everything. One of our members, who's basically the one that we usually go to, he gets all the information, all the shilas for Shabbos. He's the one who gives the Shabbos shiur to Flatbush members. And his phone rang on Shabbos. Picks it up, telemarketing. 5 minutes later, another phone call, telemarketing. After the second call, he didn't even have his hand off the phone when it rang again. He didn't pick it up. Comes to shul for mincha. One of the men come over to him. Weren't you home this afternoon? He says, yeah. He says, I live around the corner. You're the closest Hatzolah member. My father had a heart attack.
They should call Hatzolah.
You're right. They should have called Hatzolah right to begin. Maybe he wasn't home. I've been saying that, telling this to people all along.
It's an abuse of the system.
Yes.
It's not meant to be that way.
You should call Hatzolah. But this is the reason why we're told your phone rings on Shabbos, even if you don't recognize the phone number, because it could be your neighbor or a relative who's using somebody else's cell phone, who's calling your house. You live down the block, you're the closest Hatzolah member. So, but the question is, if I'm not home, they just wasted time. They should have called Hatzolah to begin with.
Dr. Foley's made a very valid point. It's an abuse of the system. It's like there's going to be an enormous amount of Chil Shabbos.
Yeah, because it may not be home.
You call the system.
You call the system. We tell that to everybody. Yeah, we tell that to everybody.
Every Hatzolah member should have a do not call system.
Yes.
In the case of you have a phone at home, let's say indeed you, as a Hatzolah member, not available, but your wife is there, and she sees the phone ring, she knows it's a dedicated line.
If it's if she sees a Tatzolar on the caller ID, because even years ago, before we had radios, if the phone rang on Shabbos, even if we were not home, your wife or your kid was supposed to pick it up, and as soon as they heard it was Hatzola, my husband, my wife is not home, he's not available. Click. Because otherwise, if they wait to let it ring 5, 6, 7 times, they're wasting time.
But the neighbor, the example you gave before with the neighbor calling the third time after the 2-mile marketing, let's say you said, I'm not picking up, and your wife, whatever, she picked it up. And now it's, it's the neighbor.
Yeah.
My father's out. So luckily, she can pick it up.
Yeah.
You know, I let me throw this up as a question, because I know this. If you don't feel good and you have a doctor and you call him at his home number and he's a Jewish doctor, he has a chiyuv to pick up the phone too. He can't say, I'm busy, it's Shabbos, I don't want to do it.
I don't want to get into halachas. I said, I'm not a rav. We have a number of doctors that unfortunately will not answer their phones on Shabbos.
Call the answering service.
Call 911.
Call their answering service. Call 911 and go to the hospital.
Well, they're right, too. They're wasting time.
Is there ever a situation where Hatzalah advises people on Shabbos to call 911 instead of Hatzalah?
Is there... I'm not a dispatcher. Do they ever advise the patient to call 911?
No, just general.
Not in general. Normally, sometimes if we get calls in far out places, because Flatbush Hatzolah covers a large area, because we go all the way up to Church Avenue, all the way down to the water and into Brighton. So in cases where we can't get more than one member, even sometimes not even a member, let's say in Brighton and Coney Island, the dispatcher will call 911. But they would never tell the patient to call 911.
In general, as a Hatzolah to the community in advance, when you're making the phone call, realize you're going to bring about a lot of Chil Shabbos. And if it's something which that's the question.
Well, we don't know if it's Chil Shabbos or not. You don't know if it's some kind of suspicious.
Like, let's say a person has a sprained ankle. And he's in discomfort.
Now, is it a sprained ankle or is it a broken ankle?
That's the question.
So, you don't know. I myself.
Yes.
This is going back many years ago. The hospital changed was rebuilt already several times since this happened. But when I got out by Maimonides Hospital many years ago, I was driving the ambulance. They took already the patient inside, and I was parking the ambulance. I came out and stepped down onto the curb the wrong way. My ankle gave out. I was the next patient. And the doctors told me, because everybody thought it was broken. And the doctors told me, you would have better move off breaking it, because I tore every ligament in my ankle. But you don't know. Everybody thought it was broken.
It's not a question of Chil Shabbos. It's a question, is it a Suffolk or is it a Vaday Chosid Shaita?
But the
halakha is that's what they do. Borian and Shema
is only on the day.
Yeah, but you don't know if it's broken or if it's a sprain. Yeah.
Right, but if he calls Hatzolah, then Hatzolah has no problem. Has to respond.
We have to respond.
I think when the Russians calling just because they need a ride. What are you going to do?
That we had. And cases like that, when we get cases like that, we get this even during the week. But especially on Shabbos, if we get calls, it's not just the Russians, it's anybody.
Yeah.
What happens? We've had cases. I've been on cases.
I had a case across the street from my house.
Okay, he's right. Truman Yenim Sechesben. That is not just on Shabbos; it's even during the week, but especially Shabbos. We think my mother broke her hip. We get there; she's laying in bed, and all the symptoms, all the signs that there's a broken hip. And I don't care. Makes no difference. When did this happen? Did you pick her up this morning from the floor because she fell and put her back in bed? Oh, no, she fell on Thursday. So why are you calling on Shabbos? So now that you've already waited 2 days, now we'll call a private ambulance
and have them take you. Or call 911. But usually we don't call 911, we'll call a private ambulance. Because this, you already waited 2 days, waiting the extra half hour is not the cause of fushes. If you called us at the time it happened, different story.
Now the question becomes, do you have a right to call 911?
We have to. They have to go to the hospital. We have to. We can't leave them home.
Because you're afraid you'll lose your license.
That's right. We can't leave them home.
Right.
Okay. We have to sign them off to, according to the rules, we have to sign them off to another person or agency who's equal to or higher than us.
So you have someone standing by, let's say a contract with, let's call.
We have two or three ambulance companies
so that
we deal with.
These
yes.
Calls that
yes.
can take it off. So
yes.
It's already planned for.
Yeah. We have two or three of them.
Until you're there, the guy who goes is
we don't know.
Mitzvah.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to have to just go a little bit faster now.
You can go over on time.
Cause for Hatzalah. In the beginning, you're going to the call, no question. But coming back, well, I don't have to turn on my headlights, I don't have to do this, I don't have to do that. Rabbanan said, nothing doing. You turn on your headlights. Takana, if you don't turn them on, don't drive. Some people were driving with their left leg in order to be yeshinli. Drive normally with your right leg.
But on driving with the left leg, you're being putting others in the car.
That's it. The thing is,
your eyes closed.
Start coming back. Coming back from the call. So if you're going to start your car, try and start it with a shinui. In other words, if you normally turn it like this, put it between two other fingers, use two hands to turn the key to start it. But coming back, if the call is over, patient's in the hospital, you start it with a shinui. Years ago, the question was, dome lights in the car. Every time you open the door, light goes on. Should we take out the bulb before Shabbos? In those years, before we had radios, the Rav Paskin, the one that we asked the Shaila to, said, no, you leave it in. This is before we had radios. Because why? Because we wrote the address down on a piece of paper. If the dome light is out, and you got to look at the address, how are you going to look at the address? He says, you leave that light in there. My own personal experience, when I had to buy a car, and I was buying used cars at that time, this is going back again when they first came out with the electric windows in the car, and I was in a Shemir Shabbos used car dealer, and I told him I'm looking for this and this type of car, but I want one without the electric windows. He says, why? I said, in case I have to drive on Shabbos. He's looking at me. Then he saw the radio and he realized what I was saying. Because if it gets hot in the car, you want to open the windows. It's been Paskin since then that if you're in the car and it's during the summer, all cars are electric windows. Do you have to leave the windows open? The car might get stolen. No, you open the window or you turn on the air conditioner. Otherwise, you're going to be the next patient. You do it. Fixing cars on Shabbos. I was on a call many years ago, and we get back from the call, from the hospital, and one of the cars didn't start. One of the cars that came to the call. That time we only had one ambulance here in Flatbush, and we didn't even have radios. There was a beeper in the ambulance. So if the ambulance was on a call, and they needed you for another call, the beeper in the ambulance, and you had to pull over. There were quarters in the ambulance, or dimes at that, and you'd be able to call in to find out where or what's going on. So none of us, the ambulance didn't have. I was driving the ambulance. The ambulance didn't have cables. The member whose car didn't start didn't have cables, but he had cables in his house. We didn't have a rav in our back pocket to ask a shaila. And I remember exactly which Shabbos it was. It was Shabbos Shuvah. We're declaring, should we go to his house with the ambulance and bring back the cables? Should we park the ambulance back in the garage? It might be needed on another call. And I'll drive him with my car back to his house, get the cables, come back and start him up. And that's what we did. We put our heads together. We figured in case the ambulance is needed on another call, that would be the best bet. The next afternoon, well, at that time when this happened, right, you don't know where I live, East 18th and L. This guy whose car didn't start lived on Avenue I in East 24th. And we were the two most eastern members. Anybody from any call from this side down, it was the two of us that were sent, especially on a Shabbos. This another call came in Shabbos afternoon on East 13th Street, where a child fell out of a window. Who got the call? He got the call, and I got the call. After we got the patient to the hospital, Baruch Hashem, the patient was fine. After Shabbos, I called Rabbi Bender. I told him exactly what happened. What do we do next time? Should we go jump, you know, get the cables and jump the car on Shabbos? Or leave the car till after Shabbos? He says, God gave you the answer. If you didn't jump the car Friday night, how could he answer the call Shabbos afternoon? You got to fix it. We had another member walking to shul. He was a medic. He is a medic. Walking to shul Yom Kippur morning. He had two cars, one in his house and one by the shul. He notices the car by shul has a flat. He goes to his rav. Should I call the AAA? Should I have the guy from the shul call the AAA? Should I have the guy change the flat? What should I do? He says, no. You go out, change the flat yourself, and I'm sending out 10 men to watch you do it.
Supervised.
No. You're not doing it hidden. You're doing it
if
I ask you. He says, you go out and do it yourself on Yom Kippur.
You brought up I hate to do this, but I want to ask you. What is the reaction to the people who gather around to see what's going on?
Depending what it is. Okay, two more things. The Kuach Nefesh, as I said, it's not just Deicha Shabbos. It's Deicha everything else, except for the three that we mentioned before. Sometimes people say, especially we have calls with women, with girls, how can we undress them, how can we examine them, etc., etc., etc. My first taste of this came when I was first doing my EMT course. I was first taking the class, and for those of you who know anything about the state EMT course, at that time, I don't know how many hours it is now, you had to put in 10 hours in the emergency room in a hospital. And the first night, they put 5 hours and 5 hours. Two nights. First night I was there, they bring, now the rules have changed between, what do you call the privacy laws today again? HIPAA. Pipper and everything else, rules have changed since 1977. But at that time, there was no HIPAA. At that time, there was no other things about being in a room with a female patient, etc., etc., etc. They brought in a 22-year-old female in a major car accident. They bring her into the room. The nurse goes out. The doctor tells me, cut off her clothing. Even though she wasn't Jewish, which I knew, I wasn't going to let her lay there with nothing on. So I didn't cut off the underwear. Doctor comes in, gives me a mishaberach. I told you to cut off her clothing. I meant all her clothing. Well, when I cut off the bra, we normally breathe like this. She was breathing like this. I found out when I came back the next week for my second five-hour shift. Her ribs were broken in 22 places. I had another case. A yeshiva girl was walking home from camp, day camp on a Friday afternoon. She fell around the corner from her camp, face down, complaining of pains all over her chest and her abdomen. Get her into the ambulance. The female head counselor came into the ambulance with us, and I had to examine her. In those years, as I said, rules have changed even for medicine. Today, if you have a broken rib, they really don't do anything for it. In those years, we were taught to strap the patient. So, wherever you touched on the chest, we thought it was, she may have had a broken rib. Wrapped up the patient. The father worked a few blocks away, so somebody from the camp called the father. He came into the ambulance, so the counselor, the head counselor left, and I explained to the father exactly what I did. And he turns to his daughter, and he asks the daughter what I said in the beginning, do you know what a chassid shaita is? And she said no. And she explained. He explained to her what a chassid shaita was. And he told her, if he didn't address you and did what he did, he would be a chassid shaita.
You're lucky, understanding father.
But this is, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, absolutely. One quick question. What happens if you go to a patient and the patient's no longer living on Shabbos?
That depends. There's a lot of problems with that. First of all, we get to a patient like that, usually the medics are on the scene, and they're more versed in this with the Rabbanim and the Halachas, because we have to call the police, we have to call, we can't just leave a body in the house.
That's why you have medics.
Hmm?
I remember when you first started, there was a big snowstorm on Shabbos,
yeah.
And down the block, a woman called her husband, stopped breathing, and Atzala came, and everyone in the block volunteered to schlep the bottles of oxygen in the 4 foot of snow
up the block.
The only one who had a vehicle that could go was Zakheim because he had a four-wheel track.
Yeah.
And eventually what found was the person had died the night before, but he was sleeping under a electric blanket.
So his body was still warm.
The body was warm. And once they started on him, they couldn't let go of him until there was a doctor who proclaimed death.
Yeah.
And that's when they started a course by Atzala that they gave the medics and the...
No, Zakheim was the one. He and Wadowski were the two original medics that we had.
But that's the reason they came, because otherwise we were pulling, they were getting from Seagate, they had to bring
oxygens, members.
Tanks to keep on. All Shabbos we kept on running down because they couldn't do anything.
Hatzala versus doctors on Shabbos. Many times we're on a scene and a doctor, I'm talking about specifically now on Shabbos. Why are you doing this? It's Shabbos. We can't... Any ambulance company, any EMT, any paramedic does not work under the same rules as doctors. We have a different New York State halacha that we work under. We can't just do what we want. Different rules. Yes, if a patient goes into a neighbor who's a doctor on Shabbos and the doctor says, well, I can give you this to relieve the pain, you don't have to go to the hospital, that's fine. If Hatzalah is called, there are certain protocols we have to do. We can't just leave the patient home. If we feel the patient has to go to the hospital and the patient refuses, what's called RMA, refusing medical attention, we have to call our medical control. As I mentioned before, medical control for most of Brooklyn Hatzala is in Methodist Hospital. And they will talk to us. They will then speak to the patient. And then the doctor will decide whether or not we could leave them home or take it. And if the doctor says we have to take them and they're still refusing to go, we then have to call the police or 911 on Shabbos, Tell them we have a patient that was authorized to be taken to the hospital by medical control, and they're refusing to go. We can't just schlep that patient out, because that's called kidnapping. So, now, what do I say with this? I had a case about a year ago called, get there, young woman, right before Kiddush on Friday night. Before Shabbos, she burnt herself in the shower. The water was too hot. Down the whole leg. They were putting on cold compresses. They were doing other things. But it was just too much. They finally called Hatzalah. She was in such pain that I called for the medics for pain management. Excuse me. Giving medication to relieve the pain. Not that she needed medication because of the burn, which she needs anyway, but pain management. While the medics are there giving pain management, and this is a burn, so we're going to a burn center. Two doctors who live on the block happen to be coming home from shul, and they stop in because it's a neighbor and they see Hatzalah's there, and why don't you just give Silverdyne? Why do you have to take her to the hospital? Well, if she called you and you came and she went to your house and you want to give her Silverdyne, fine. But she didn't call you. She called Hatzalah. Once Hatzalah gives medication, even if it's their own medication, but once, because we don't give as an EMT, the only medication I'm allowed to give is help you take, God forbid, your I forgot. When you take nitros, yes. If you take nitros or if you have asthma medication, help you take your pump, I'm allowed to do that as an EMT. Other kind of medication after that, you need a paramedic for. We're not allowed to do it as an EMT. Once the medics give any type of medication, state law has nothing to do with Hatzalah. We must transport that patient to the hospital. Even if the hospital will discharge them a half hour later. Once the medication is given, we have to transport to the hospital. And we have fights with doctors about this all the time. And sure enough, this lady was taken to the burn center. Within 2 hours, she was sent home with Silverdyne. Fine, but we don't have Silverdyne. We can't prescribe medication. Our medics do not carry Silverdyne because it's against New York State law for us to carry it, because we're not allowed to prescribe it. They give pain medication. At that time, they gave her morphine to relieve the pain. 2 hours after she got to the hospital, she was discharged with Silverdyne. So, of course, the doctors, when they saw me, you see, she got discharged. All they did was give her Silverdyne. Yeah, if they came to your house and you wanted to give her Silverdyne, that's fine. We can't do that. We can't do that.
Aaron?
Yes?
Two questions.
Can I have one?
I'll ask one of them. First question. Does Hatzalah allow either the patient or the person to select the hospital they want to go?
Put it this way. If it's a local hospital, then you can select the hospital you want. If it's something in New York, then that depends. Number one, is it something that the patient is stable enough to be driven there? Number two, is it, if you waited this long, maybe you could wait an extra half hour, and even during the week. Hatzalah does not send ambulances to New York City from Flatbush as much as they used to. It used to be that Hatzalah would go on a call, I want to go to Beth Israel in Lower Manhattan. Oh, I want to go to Mount Sinai, because that's where my doctor is. So, years ago, we used to do that all the time. Today, that has stopped. Whereas, if there's a good reason for you to go to Mount Sinai, we then have to call a certain number, phone number that we have, to give permission for us to take the ambulance out of Flatbush.
What happens if you specialize in certain...
That depends.
Disease,
that's it.
And your disease.
That's it. That's something like that, you'll be able to go. Then, then if it's even if you have permission to go to Manhattan, if the patient isn't stable enough, we don't go. We go to the nearest hospital. We had a case where there was a woman who was hemorrhaging. She only wanted to go to a hospital in Manhattan. I forgot which one. And the medics were there, and they said, you're not stable enough to go. We refuse to take you. We'll take you, whatever, Maimonides, Methodist, Lutheran, whatever the case may be. And she refused. She started calling private ambulances. This was during the week. I had nothing to do with Shabbos. When they heard the situation, they all refused. Because if the patient is not stable enough to go, you're going to go to the nearest hospital, no matter what you choose. Yes?
Yes, the correlation between the EMT and the medic. In other words, when gets a call, who do they send? EMT?
EMTs.
Only a...
Now, it depends. If they hear that it is a patient who has a history and is having chest pains and he already has a cardiac history, most dispatchers will already send a paramedic. As soon as they send out the EMTs, they'll send a paramedic also.
Let's say I call and I say I have a suspicion of AFib. Will they send automatically a medic?
Usually. Yeah. Yeah.
I want to ask one other. This is a sensitive question I ask you. We had an incident with my granddaughter this past summer. She sustained a burn. It's hot water. And I told her it came very quick. They were very good. But initially, they were going to take the Cornell.
Burn center.
All of a sudden, put in there. All of a sudden, somebody comes quickly back house. We're changing. We're taking to Staten Island. Which is
burn center.
So my wife asked, why the change? And here was the answer. And I don't know if you want to comment on the answer. Politics. That was the answer that the representative...
And first of all, which hospital was it? Flatbush?
Yes. Because I live in Flatbush.
Okay, no. I don't know if maybe it was by your granddaughter's house, so I don't know.
No, it was here on where I live.
Okay, I don't know what went on then.
Is there something...
No, because it used to be that one of the top burn doctors was first in Cornell, and then he moved over to Staten Island Hospital, and then he left there too.
So, most of the time
now, we end up from Flatbush going to Cornell. I wouldn't say all the time, but most of the time, burn victims from Chas V'Shalom, from Flatbush, end up going to Cornell. Thank you very much. I hope I was... okay. And you should only call Hatzalah for Simchas. Thank you. And thank you for inviting me.
The Dunkin' Donuts are here. The same conditions of it may have been Yechiel Yaakov.
I've got to go drive now. I've got to go to the
beach. You can take donuts.
That's a good question. Aaron, good question. Had solo members officially to carry a beeper on the shop. No alcohol for it.
Huh? No, they're not allowed to drink.
Only Harry's.
Old dog.
Okay. I mean, I know doctors have different usual terms. That's it.